Welcome back to the Carnivore Yogi Podcast. Today's episode is everything you want to know about histamine intolerance, mast cell activation. If you know, right? It's one of those things that if you suffer with histamine intolerance, you already know the drill. But Dr. Becky Campbell is nothing short of an expert on histamine intolerance. She has written two books specifically on histamine at this point. And I wanted to bring her back in to have another in-depth conversation about histamine intolerance. She actually came onto my YouTube channel back in 2020, and I will link that in the show notes for you if you want to check that out. But today, I just wanted to get the nitty-gritty on histamine. There are certain times of the month for women that you're going to have more trouble with histamine. There are certain times during pregnancy that you're going to have more trouble during histamine, which I actually did experience during first trimester. And there's a lot of reasons behind this. We also talk about how to treat histamine and what steps she takes with her patients. So there is absolutely a ton of information in this episode. I really do hope that you'll share it with anybody who is suffering from histamine intolerance, including medications that we are told that are good for histamine that could actually be causing more trouble. So again, please share this podcast with anyone you know who is suffering. If you have a moment, head on over to Apple or Spotify. Leave me up to a 5-star review. It will help to get this episode out to more people so that they can start to take better control of their health. And I want to quickly mention, I am doing a webinar this Sunday, June 26th, all about hydration. And if you're in the States right now, we have been having quite a heat wave. Unfortunately, the solution is not to just drink more water. In fact, that could cause more trouble if you're not careful. So check out my hydration webinar that's going to be linked down in the show notes. And I have a ton of webinars as well as courses to help get you started on your quantum health journey. Again, all of that linked down in the show notes for you. Speaking of show notes, there are tons of timestamps available down there in the show notes. In case you want to surf around through the show, check out all the different topics that Dr. Becky and I talk about. So check those out. And those show notes are actually going to be brought to you by my two sponsors. The first one is going to be Optimal Carnivore. I am a huge fan of their Brain Nourish product, as well as their beef organs and beef liver. I have actually been supplementing with all three of those prenatally and during my pregnancy as well. And I'll do a future episode talking about supplements I'm taking during pregnancy, so stay tuned for that. But Optimal Carnivore is definitely on my list of things I am taking to fortify and nourish my body during pregnancy. Brain Nourish is an excellent product filled with beef brain as well as lion's mane to help you maintain sharp focus and concentration. You can use my code carnivore uppercase Y to save 10% on the Brain Nourish product over on Amazon. That'll be linked in the show notes for you. And the second sponsor of today's show is going to be Upgraded Formulas. Now, I love their hair tissue mineral analysis because it has helped me to get to the bottom of my mineral issues. And believe it or not, one of the things that happened to me during pregnancy was that my magnesium actually went down. It's not surprising because magnesium is needed to perform a whole lot of energetic functions in the body. So thanks to the hair tissue mineral analysis with a consultation from Upgraded Formulas, I was able to get to the bottom of that and use their magnesium supplement to help me out. You can use my code YOGI12 or YOGI to save on anything on the Upgraded Formulas website. And I hope you enjoy today's show. I'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I am super excited to have today's guest. This is actually her second time, but it's been since 2020. So it's been a while. But thank you, Dr. Becky Campbell, for being here today.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I loved what we did last time. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And you are, I mean, I call you the histamine doctor, and you have a couple books on histamine. I just got this brand new one about low histamine cooking. It's just wonderful. And so I'm like, you know what? She's got this great book out. And let's just come back and talk about histamine again.
Yes. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just kind of back up a little bit for anybody that's, maybe been living under a rock, but what is histamine and why does it get a bad rap?
Yeah. So histamine is a chemical mediator that's released from our mast cells, which are white blood cells that kind of work with the immune system. So histamine is a good thing when it's in released at normal levels or when we can break it down properly. It helps us to get rid of allergens. It helps with digestion, with, you know, releasing that hydrochloric acid that we need. And it helps, you know, it's like our little messenger between our body and our brain. So it's extremely important. So it gets a bad rap. And mast cells get a bad rap because of mast cell activation syndrome. So neither are bad. We definitely would never want to shut all this down. The problem is that either we're releasing too much histamine or we cannot break down the histamine that we're releasing. And so when histamine goes in to do its job, it should be broken down then and be fine. But when you have certain issues that cause you not to be able to break down histamine properly, then we have a lot of histamine receptors throughout the body, and that histamine that's left over is going to get into all those receptors and it can cause you to have symptoms and very, you know, odd symptoms, I guess you could call it. You know, there's a lot of crossover with symptoms with different issues, right? Mm-hmm. Thyroid disease, adrenal issues, like there's a lot of crossover with that. With histamine and mast cell activation syndrome, I think that it is a little bit different where you can actually kind of pinpoint some of the stuff. But it is odd that it's just all different places. So we can get into some of the symptoms.
Yeah, that was actually my next question is, you know, what are some of the signs and symptoms of histamine intolerance?
So there, a lot of issues show up in the skin. We have a lot of mast cells in the skin. So, you know, flushing, if you've noticed, you know, sometimes have you ever been talking to someone and their cheeks are just red, right?
Yeah.
But it
that
doesn't
mean my whole life.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be that, but that's just one thing. Or if you flush after exercise and it doesn't go down quickly, or you flush when you're eating, that's a really big sign, that you have an issue with histamine, but other issues with your skin. So anything like inflammatory to the skin, because histamine is inflammatory. Any type of dermatitis, so eczema, you know, seborrheic dermatitis, different things like that can be related. You know, a lot of like congestion, if you notice that you have like a constant congestion that you don't know where it's coming from and you're not sick, or when you eat, if you get like itching ears, that's a big sign, or some people get a lot of irritation to their throat. Their eyes can get irritated. Migraines are really, really common with histamine issues. Insomnia is really common. And that's because histamine is really excitatory to the brain. And histamine is higher later in the day because it's been building up all day. So when you're trying to sleep and your brains won't shut down, that can be a histamine issue. You can have swelling, you know, random swelling, because again, it's in your skin and it can cause like a swelling reaction in the skin. Racing heart is a big one. So if you're eating something and you notice that your heart is racing kind of out of nowhere, that can typically be a histamine response. Anxiety, you know, I suffered a lot with anxiety through a lot of my life, but a lot in college too. And there was different reasons for it, but anxiety is really common with histamine intolerance because your sympathetic nervous system is really activated, you know? So you're kind of just in that fight or flight all the time when you have a histamine issue. And then there's something called dermatographia. So a lot of people will notice if they like draw on their arm and the line stays, that can be a big sign. Like it can be like a way to test yourself. And it doesn't mean if you don't have the line that you don't have any issues with histamine. It's just that some people do test themselves that way.
If someone was to maybe get stung by like a mosquito or a bug or a bug bite and they have a huge welt, like little friends of mine, I remember as kids, I'm like, why does she have these giant welts on her leg? Is that tied to histamine also?
It is. Yeah. And we noticed like my youngest son, when he gets bit by mosquitoes, I mean, he welts up. And I don't, and I have mast cell activation syndrome. So it just shows that you can have some things and then not have others. So it's interesting how it all works.
Yeah. And I've even heard some people have like you know, urinary issues where they just have like excess urination. Like I've had that issue before of just like having to pee 100 times and thinking it was IC, but it was actually histamine.
Yeah. It's because there's all the, there's a lot of mast cells in the lining of the bladder. And so it just feels that irritation. So it's really tied to interstitial cystitis or the feeling like you have it. You know, there's a lot of different things that kind of tie to it. Am I going blurry?
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah, all right. You're good. I'm seeing myself blurry. So
no, you look beautiful and clear. Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like you said, they get a little bit confused because, you know, you put in Google and you're like, well, I don't have this symptom, but I do have this one. And it can look like other things like, you know, let's say adrenal issues. So how would you really, I guess, how would you really know with a patient or with someone if they, you know, if it's histamine versus we got to look at some other system of the body?
I typically test it with food. So I will, you know, if you're unsure, I would say the cheapest and best way to test for histamine intolerance is to eat high histamine foods. And if it gives you new symptoms or aggravates your current symptoms, it's probably a histamine intolerance. And if you feel no issue, it could, but you have a lot of these symptoms, it actually could be mast cell activation syndrome without a histamine intolerance because mast cells release a lot of different chemical mediators, right? So you could not have an issue with histamine and still have mast cell activation syndrome. Whereas, you know, so there is a little bit of a difference. Most people do with mast cell activation syndrome, most people do have histamine intolerance.
Got it. So how would you, do you treat somebody that just has mast cell activation system or syndrome differently than somebody that has histamine intolerance?
Not really. The only thing is that with histamine intolerance, if it's truly a histamine intolerance, that was brought on by, let's say, a gut infection, right? Because if you get a lot of opportunistic bacteria in the gut, that can actually make you release more histamine in your body. And some of that bacteria can actually release histamine on its own. So let's say that was the reason, right? Or let's say you pair that even with estrogen dominance, because estrogen dominance can really drive histamine intolerance. And you get those two things, you get rid of the gut infection and you really calm down estrogen or your body learns how to excrete estrogen properly, you know, however you want it. We do it different depending on why you have estrogen dominance, but, and then you actually can get rid of the histamine intolerance. Oh. With mast cell activation syndrome, it is a reaction. Your mast cells are reacting to something there. So, you know, mold is a very big issue for mast cell activation syndrome. So if you're in mold, you're going to aggravate those mast cells. And we were talking a little bit about EMFs. So yes. EMFs are a really big driver of mast cell activation syndrome. So yes, if you remove yourself from that stuff, you can get everything to calm down and seem, you know, kind of go away. With mast cell activation syndrome, I do find that you tend to be just a little bit more sensitive moving forward, even when you're out of the situation, because your mast cells just kind of get sensitive, which is what's happening a lot with the post-COVID syndrome. You know, your mast cells are so active during a virus, right? Because they're trying to protect you. And then after, they're just really overstimulated. And so you're pushing out still those inflammatory chemicals and you're stuck with this long hauler syndrome. And so it may go away and it may not. But it can always get to a point where you feel very good and very, you know, quote unquote normal or back to yourself again. But I just noticed, like, for me, I feel great, you know, most of the time, but because I have mast cell activation syndrome and not just a histamine intolerance, I can get triggered easy. So I cannot be around mold. I can tell if I'm in mold within minutes and I fall apart. Wow. And so that, you know, even though I'm not in mold now and I feel good, if I put myself in that situation, it really aggravates my mast cells. So I have to be a little bit more careful than somebody who does not have mast cell activation syndrome, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Kind of complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been seeing a ton of people now, because when we last talked, it was a couple of years ago, that get COVID. Hopefully we don't get totally censored for talking about this, but they have it. And then afterwards they develop histamine intolerance. They develop, they lose hair. They have histamine intolerance. They have all these issues that they didn't previously have. Is that something that you're kind of also seeing as well?
Oh, huge. Yeah. I mean, my practice has blown up and you know, everyone thinks I just work with histamine and mast cells. Of course I don't. I work with pretty much everything, but because I'm very vocal about histamine intolerance and mast cell activation syndrome, I am kind of one of the go-to people. So I have seen a huge spike in post-COVID patients or even post-vaccination, because it can act the same way the virus does a little bit in the body. People are getting a lot of histamine symptoms.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess that's one thing that can start to cause histamine intolerance for some people. And you mentioned EMF also being a culprit. What are some other things that can cause this in people?
So any gut issue really, right? So yeast overgrowth, parasites, leaky gut, any of that stuff is going to compromise the really integrity of the gut. And that the, one of the main enzymes that's called the DAO enzyme is made in the lining of the gut. So all of that is going to disrupt how much DAO enzyme you're producing. So the gut is really the first place I look with everybody. And then some nutrient deficiencies like copper is really important for making the, you know, production of DAO. So is vitamin C. B6 is really important. It helps DAO break down histamine. So those are really, you know, important things that we look at with everybody. Like I said, mold is huge, EMF exposure, medications. There's a lot of medication that actually breaks down the enzyme. So like antihistamines actually break down the DAO enzyme. So when you're taking them, your purpose of taking those is to reduce the histamine load in your body. And in turn, it's breaking down your body's ability to break down histamine on its own.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know that. And I didn't know that until I really started studying this because my daughter is one of those really sensitive kids who would just get colds and just runny noses and all that stuff every year. And so her doctor told me, well, just start her on Claritin, you know, starting before allergy season starts, just give her a little children's Claritin tablet every single day, twice a day, if you need to prevent her from just being miserable. And then I learned that that was not helping her at all. And so just over the last couple of years, I've worked hard to address her gut, you know, hard to try to get that DAO up for her. And it's been, I mean, she hasn't been getting and address her diet as well. And she hasn't been getting ear infections and hasn't had the same issues that she had as a child. But, you know, we're told like, okay, just take these over-the-counter drugs. They're safe. They're fine. But a lot of people, I don't think they're educated to the long-term effects of some of these things.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are learning about medications that they're prescribing from the rep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. What was that, that movie?
Dope Sick.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
Was that not such an eye opener on how people are learning about the medications they're prescribing, the reps who don't even really know what they're talking about, because who knows where, you know, they're learning it from the people who are selling it.
Right.
To, you know, to them. And the doctors don't know. And then they think they're doing something good. And then they don't realize. And many people don't even know what histamine intolerance is.
Right.
So they wouldn't even think of that anyway. They look at a, you know, antihistamine and they think this is completely benign.
Right.
But it isn't over the long term. It is not. So, and it can be a first line defense, you know, for someone with extreme mast cell activation syndrome, like the H1 and H2 blockers, which would be an antihistamine and like a pepsidase or something like that. But in the long run, again, you're going to stop producing that hydrochloric acid that we need, and then you're going to get bacteria that causes histamine to be released. And then you're also going to break down the DAO enzyme. Plus when you're blocking those, all the histamine receptors like that, you're telling your body that you're not making histamine. So your body starts making more. So it's a bad cycle of events.
It really is. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to bring more education and awareness to that for people because, you know, we just, a lot of us, I feel like not so much anymore. I think people are starting to wake up, but there's this like, you know, in Dope Sick, going back to that, like the thing is that the whole study that quote unquote, that everything was based on was actually just an article
you know,
that was written in a medical journal.
Yes.
And it was not a study, but if enough people keep repeating the same thing, this is safe, this is fine, this is okay, people believe it. And, you know, look at the kind of damage that that can cause on people's health.
Yeah. And if you have not seen that, I highly recommend you watch it because it is extremely eye-opening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My husband, you know, he's been in the lab business for 15 years. He works sells his laboratory services. It's anatomical pathology. So, you know, blood testing, all kinds of stuff like that. But his original job offer was with a company selling ADD and ADHD medication. And we were, you know, young and we didn't really think about it. We were just like, oh, cool. He's going to get into pharmaceutical sales and it's going to be good money. But even to this day, he and I are just like, I'm so glad you didn't get that job.
Yeah.
You know, knowing what we know, it was for Adderall. It's like knowing what we know now about these drugs and how they actually can be really harmful to a lot of people. I'm so glad that you did not get that job.
Well, I actually took Adderall. I was diagnosed ADHD. And I would say that's when I noticed the most of my issues starting.
Really?
Oh yeah. I felt like I was on crack. I mean, I was uncontrollably nervous, you know?
Oh, wow.
And very productive, but not worth it. You know, just felt uneasy in my own body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was, I always say that drug ruined my life, you know? So
that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, and that's another thing. I mean, do you think a drug like that could possibly also, degradate like the gut and cause us not to make enough DAO enzyme, cause other issues that would allow pathogens and things to get into our gut?
Yeah. Oh, it could definitely break down the lining of the gut for sure, I would say. Wow.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, that sympathetic nervous system again, talk about being in fight or flight all the time. I mean, and that makes you, you know, produce more histamine when you are in that sympathetic nervous system overdrive. So that's why stress is such a big driver of mast cell activation syndrome and histamine intolerance.
Do you think that's the correlation? I mean, EMF, there's so much that it does to the body that people don't understand. It causes dehydration and depletes the easy water, the exclusion zone water in the body. It does so many things, but you know, with the EMF and histamine connection, is that also that sympathetic activation or what do you think the mechanism is
between that? And I think it's actually just really triggering your mast cells. You know, it's really, you know, it makes you, when I'm around too much EMFs, I feel like this internal shaking, you know?
Yeah.
So I really hardwire in as much as I can and do as much as I can off of Wi-Fi. I actually just moved out to the country and I am happy to say I am around way less towers, but I just ordered that box. I'm waiting for it to get here because we do, like, we don't have cable. So we do use Wi-Fi for our TV. Yeah. So and I have felt a little off since I've been here. And so I got that. I forget what it's called. I'll talk more about it once I know, but it's the box. It's, you know, one of the boxes that helps like,
get harmonized.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. They, I got a Lila Q block that's supposed to help harmonize. I'm going to interview the owner of that, but I'm like, all right, just been carrying it around and we have a kill switch. So at night I just turn everything off. I have a little button beside my bed and it kills all the Wi-Fi in the house. And I mean, the things like that just really do make a big difference. And my daughter, who's the sensitive one, the reason why I started kind of noticing is that she would tell me when Wi-Fi was on, she's like, she spelled on her boards. She's like, I like going to grandma's house. My mom doesn't have Wi-Fi. She's like, I like to go to grandma's house because the walls at grandma's house don't scream.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what?
So intuitive.
Yeah. She's like, the walls at everyone else's house scream and the walls at grandma's house don't scream. So that's why I like to go there. It's more peaceful.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we're getting a kill switch and we got a new house and we hardwired the new house. We haven't moved in yet, but it's been hardwired, painted the bedrooms with Y-Shield. I mean, we got a Magnetico sleep pad. I mean, we're
good for you.
We've gone to like a new level here because, yeah, it's one of those things that you can't see, but it is definitely causing interference and harm in the body for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I would love to talk a little bit about this estrogen and histamine connection, because I know a lot of women experience histamine symptoms at different points in the month, sometimes worse, right. Sometimes it's almost like you're in remission. Can we dive into that connection a little bit deeper?
Yeah. So estrogen stimulates our mast cells to release histamine. So an estrogen can also bind to the same receptor that histamine binds to, the H1 receptor. So when it does, it causes an increase in histamine release. So particularly, you know, in the uterus and the ovaries, right? So that's like where you get the greatest response. And in our cycle, we have, you know, their peak times of ovulation. So around our peak times of estrogen. So around ovulation, we get a big peak. And then before we get our cycle, we get a peak. So that's why a lot of people will get migraines, anxiety, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff right before. And I mean, I hear people say all the time, why do I get migraines at ovulation? Or why do I get migraines right before my period? Yes. Yeah. Yep. So it's that and estrogen and histamine cause each other to release more of the other one. So it's like this bi-directional vicious cycle that they kind of cause each other. So
interesting. Yeah. And I felt like I had put my histamine intolerance like to bed. I was fine. And then I got pregnant. And like the first sign that I was pregnant was I woke up in the middle of the night, I mouth tape and I woke up in the middle of the night and my nose was all blocked. I was like, well, what the hell is this? I'm like, I wonder if I'm pregnant, you know?
Yeah. Cause you release more histamine in the first trimester. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And the headache, the first trimester was rough because I had the nasal congestion, which I hadn't had in forever. And I had migraines and I was like, oh my gosh.
Intense migraines.
Yeah. Too, I would have to lay down. Yeah. I'd have to lay down and like, I didn't take Tylenol. I took, Keton isotonic minerals. Those were like my lifesaver during first trimester, but I just kept taking minerals, you know, resting, trying to stay away from high histamine foods, even though I was of course like craving them, you know, but yeah, the hormone histamine connection is definitely something I think people don't really quite understand.
And it is interesting because in the second and third trimester, you can actually start to feel better.
Yes.
Because we do make that DAO enzyme in the placenta. So I always tell people, I'm like, just hold on because the second and third trimester should get better. Cause I felt amazing in my second trimester.
Yeah, me too.
Third too, but I was good. Uncomfortable, you know, but I didn't have like the histamine stuff going on. So
It's totally, I mean, at 24 weeks now, it's totally gone away. Like I have energy. I feel great. But that first trimester, I was like, I thought I cured myself of all this stuff. It wasn't a big concern, but you know, thankfully I kind of knew what to do, just stay away from the high histamine stuff and just rest and take it easy. That's all you can really do.
Yeah. And I tell people too, with their cycle, you know, if you are okay, you might be okay sometimes with high histamine foods. And then maybe around right before your period and around ovulation, you might want to reduce your high histamine foods and increase things like quercetin, which is going to help you. It's like a natural antihistamine, which is going to help you. And then you may not need to do it all the time. It might just be a cyclical thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a histamine, blend that I was stocking for a while for my daughter, because when I took her off the Claritin, that's what we started taking those, the capsules that you, it's a blend
of histo-relief. Yeah.
That's exactly what I gave her. And it helped tremendously.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of natural remedies and things that aren't going to cause, I mean, they're not going to cause you the same problems as a medication.
Plus they're really supportive to the immune system. So I put everybody on Liver Love because it has N-acetylcysteine, milk thistle, and those amazing mushrooms that support the immune system and help you learn to detox, which is a big problem with histamine and mast cell issues.
Yes.
And then histo relief, which is going to help calm down, you know, the histamine in your body the way that an antihistamine would without the negative side effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And just talking about diet a little bit, I want to pick your brain a little bit about elimination diets, because yeah. I've seen you post before on your page and just talk a little bit about, you know, you shouldn't necessarily have to stay on an elimination diet forever. Right.
Right. And So with diet, I do want to say there are certain foods I do not think should be eaten. Gluten is one of them. Yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks. It's the way I feel and I'm sticking to it.
I'm behind you. I back you on that one.
I will never be like, well, your elimination diet's over. Now go back to eating, you know, everything and anything. But a lot of high histamine foods, which I'll just run through of some of them. Sure, so fermented foods, vinegars, citrus fruits, avocado, which I know, don't kill me.
It's the best one.
Cinnamon, spinach, eggplant, tomatoes, banana can be an issue. So some foods are high in histamine themselves. Some reduce the enzyme. Some make our bodies release the histamine that's already in there. So there's different reasons why these foods do that. But anyway, so most of those foods are very nutrient dense. So it's not that we don't want you to ever eat those foods again. We want to get to what's driving your histamine intolerance and mast cell activation syndrome. And then you should be able to start introducing those foods again. So, but not always. It really depends on the person, but that is the goal. The cure to this is not a low histamine diet for life. The cure to this is starting with a low histamine diet, you know, supporting your detox pathways, and, you know, a few supplements needed, and then really digging in and finding out what is driving this, like what's going on with your gut, what's going on with your hormones, looking at stress. You know, stress is something you can do at home. You don't have to go to a doctor to learn stress reduction techniques. And you do need to learn the techniques though, because it is not just like stop being stressed.
Yeah. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, it's stress. And it's like, well, so what do you do about that?
Right. And there is a lot you can do, but you need guidance. You do. I've had to go through inner child work. I've had to go through trauma stuff, you know, brain retraining, a lot of different things that are really important. It's not always about the supplement or whatever. Sometimes you have to get through that. And then, at, you know, with the diet, and then you can start to dig into like root cause that we can do, you know? So sometimes we send patients out for therapy before we'll even work with them, because if it's that deep, we know it's not going to work. We know that we're not going to be able to get to your gut issue if you have 20 years of trauma that you've never addressed, you know, or your brain has a trouble where it associates the smell of perfume or whatever it is with the mast cell release of these chemical mediators, and you're getting inflamed every time you're around that stuff. We know you need to do some other stuff first, and then we can start helping you after. Wow.
Yeah. I love that, because I feel like so many just allopathic doctors, they're quick to do a surgery or do a procedure or do something. But if you don't actually treat like the root of why this person is even in your office in the first place, you're going to do a surgery or procedure, and then they're going to be back a couple of years. Like it's good. The problem is going to recreate itself if you don't get to the root cause.
Yeah, it's so true. And people really need to start addressing that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, one thing about elimination diets, I was curious, I have seen this, and I don't know how much you've seen it in practice. It's kind of a new thing that, you know, elimination diets are trendy now a little bit. People are like wanting to try them, do them. And I have seen people that do elimination diets for too long and then end up starting to have histamine issues. This is a big thing that's been happening the last couple of years that I've seen. Do you see that? And how do you?
Well, I think they're eating a lot more high histamine foods because, again, those are typically not on the elimination diet protocol, right? You're not going to say, stop eating fermented foods. You typically increase those, or you increase bone broth, or you increase your avocados. But little do they know they've had a histamine issue. And so they're increasing all these high histamine foods because they're eliminating other stuff. And then they notice their histamine intolerance, I think, more.
Yeah. And you know, and I don't really believe this, but I've had heard a couple of like functional health coaches, not doctors, but coaches say that eating an elimination diet for too long also takes down the DAO enzyme. Do you think there's any truth to that at all?
I think there's different elimination diets. So I guess it would depend what you're eliminating.
Some people are saying that this can happen on carnivore. That's what I've heard. I've seen a lot of people. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen that, but I don't, I mean, I wouldn't say a lot of people come to me that are already on carnivore.
Yeah.
I think they are, if they have gut issues and they just can't tolerate any vegetables.
Yeah.
I have never made that correlation. So I would have to go back and look through, you know, my patient files and kind of make that correlation, but I don't think that that tends to be the root cause.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think people are just trying to look to blame something else.
Well, it's the trend is to be anti-elimination diet now, any diet, really. Now that's the trend. So the trend used to be the diets and now it's the anti.
Yeah, it's the all foods fit, all foods are okay in moderation.
Yeah.
You know,
when really they're not. Some foods you cannot do. And everyone's different in what those foods are, but some foods you can't do.
Yeah. I think that the all foods fit, or you're, you know, fat phobic or diet phobic, you know, let's give somebody like a label for wanting to avoid gluten, for God's sake. And yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And I've done genetic testing and gene testing. I don't have celiac. I don't have anything like that. But when I eat gluten, I definitely feel brain fog. I feel tired.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, sure.
Yeah. Why would you, I mean, there's no need to eat it. You're not going to develop a gluten deficiency.
there's no nutritional value in it at all.
Yeah.
Like dairy, there is. So I can see why maybe some people would have an issue eliminating dairy forever, but there's no nutritional value in gluten. So, and there's so many ways to not eat gluten.
Yeah, totally.
It's like you can't blame it on anything anymore. You can't be like, well, what do I eat? Everything.
Right.
Like whole foods. That's what you
eat. Right. Exactly. Just if it grows out of the ground or it
as
walks around, yeah, as a mom, then cool. But if it's in a box or a can, or you got to mix it with some, it's probably not something you really need to be eating.
So true.
Yeah. And with the dairy, like I always would get eczema whenever I had milk or cheese or anything. But since I've been working on my gut for a while now, I mean, in pregnancy, my husband was just like, are you like running some kind of operation here? Because I just got this shipment of like raw milk and raw cream and yogurt that this farm made for me and like a big block of raw cheese. And he's just like, holy crap. And I'm like, it's the pregnancy. I need these foods. They're
mm-hmm. And there's a lot of nutritional value in them, especially the raw. I do raw. I don't do it in abundance, but I do
it. No. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I have to watch myself. I'm like, all right, you've hit your dairy limit for this.
You can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, those for me, after working on my gut and doing raw, you know, unpasteurized from a farmer that I trust, that I know that they take really good care of their animals. Yeah. It hasn't been an issue for me like it was before. So I think, gluten is one you just kind of need to just throw by the wayside. But I think you can get to a place with healing your gut where you can tolerate a little bit of like a good raw dairy, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess with a patient that comes to you that's dealing with histamine intolerance, you're process is always going to be, let's do elimination diet first, and then kind of look at different detox pathways, would you say?
Yeah. So we start with supporting detox pathways and diet together. And then I usually start them if it's a person with histamine intolerance with the historelief, and maybe look at some stuff that might help with some nutrient deficiencies. Cause I know their gut is a problem. Mm-hmm. So they're not really absorbing. And then we do testing on the gut, the hormones, sex hormones, cortisol, that type of stuff. and then a really thorough blood panel. And then we work through that stuff. And if needed, we will go into mold, viruses, heavy metals, that type of stuff. But I tend to not have to do that with a lot of people. It's very gut driven, and we hit stress really hard. So we recommend certain programs to people. We don't teach you how to reduce stress because that's not my specialty, but I know a lot of people who it is. So we refer to different programs and have people really start incorporating that, and it really helps. And then, like I said, you know, sometimes we have to go a little further with like trauma therapy or inner child stuff, you know, whatever it is, but it's, you know, that's few and far between. But we're definitely willing to stop what we're doing and have you do that for a little while and then come back to it. So everyone's so different. So, you know, really just depends. But typically I would say within 3 to 6 months, people are feeling really good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, because histamine can be so, I've talked with people, it's so debilitating. I've had some people that come to me and they're like, I can't even eat. You know, they're just severely underweight. They just are literally reacting to everything.
Everything. Yeah. And that's when we'll do like gentle detox, you know, like castor oil packs, dry brushing, Epsom salt baths, maybe infrared saunas if they can handle that. Sometimes they don't do well with heat. And no supplements, you know, and then we'll do like brain retraining, and then we'll get into like killing stuff, but we don't do that until their body is ready for it.
Yeah. That's, I don't know why I've been seeing, I guess, I think it is because of the COVID. I mean, I've been seeing a lot more of that where people are just literally reacting to everything. And they're like, I'm so desperate to not have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I could probably eat three foods, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, once you kind of address some of those things, you get them on a low histamine diet, you address detox pathways, maybe support the liver, support the gut.
Yeah.
How long do you, I mean, I get everyone's different, but is there an average length of time that you say you've got to stay on elimination diet, you know, check out my cookbook, just stick to recipes I have in there. Is there a set time for that, or is
after,
it just different?
Yeah. After we work in the gut and we're supporting the hormones and they seem stable, I'll say, let's try, cause I have a yes, no, maybe list. So I'll say, let's try some of the maybes. If you have eliminated any of the maybes, some people don't have to. And then I'll say, okay, if you're doing well on those, let's try some of the no foods back. And then they usually know, okay, I can have avocado once or twice a week, but when I eat it every day, it's still an issue. Mm-hmm. Some people, it completely goes away. They can eat and do whatever they want and they're completely fine, but they still will. I'm like, please don't eat gluten still, you know, but overall they're, you know, kind of, no gluten. I don't like grains. I don't eat grains. I try not to have people go back to that. And they can, they find it very manageable at that point. And it's different levels for everybody. Some people, like I said, are free to do whatever. And some people still have some restrictions, but overall they're just happy to feel well. So they're okay with staying off some foods forever and being okay with that.
Yeah. So. And do you have them kind of introduce things like, let's try a food one day and then wait 3 days or do you
3 days? I do the same food for 3 days. And I'm like, see how you respond. If you don't respond on day one, but you respond on day three, that's like a moderate food, right? If you don't respond at all poorly, that food is probably free to go whenever. And then if you respond on day one, don't have it.
Got it. Yeah. Cause it can take a while. I think people don't realize with food, it can take a couple days before a reaction shows up. It's not always like an immediate thing. Yeah.
And never introduce more than one thing in a day. Yeah. That's new. You know, you can eat your regular diet, but don't introduce like fermented foods and avocado together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, you know, I feel like there's so much great information in your book about, you know, how to understand histamine intolerance, what causes it, how to treat it. Anything else that you would recommend for somebody that's really struggling with histamine intolerance right now?
I think, you know, really stress is such a big factor. And if you can work on stress, if you don't have the money to do all the testing and you know, work with someone, working on stress, I give in my first book, and I, if it's okay, I'm going to flash it.
Absolutely.
So yeah. The four phase histamine reset is kind of like the roadmap. And I give you what to do if you can work with someone and what to do if you cannot. So kind of following that, and just giving yourself grace and knowing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you may have to be strict at first, but that will change. And overall, you know, what you eat is going to determine on, you know, how you feel in the long run. And it is going to determine where your health is. So it's really worth it to invest in yourself with putting, you know, nutrient dense foods in your body and staying away from inflammatory foods. And learning how to manage stress the best you can, getting sleep, learning about things like EMF exposure, and, you know, listening to your body. If you think something's wrong, it probably is. And don't let a doctor tell you that it's in your head.
Yeah, that's one thing I feel like a lot of people get told, you know, just take the antihistamine. It's all in your head. It's nothing that you need to be concerned with. And, you know, because there isn't like a blood test necessarily for histamine intolerance, right?
Not really. No, not anything real accurate.
Yeah. And so if there's not a blood, you know, Dr. Connolly, I had her on last week. I know you spoke with her on your podcast. Also, she said the reason why a lot of doctors won't run a CRP for you is because there's no medication for it if you have a high CRP.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
and that's the fix, you know, according to certain types of medicine. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a regular allopathic doctor, you know, if you've got high cholesterol, obviously the cure is a statin, you know, let's not address anything else. Let's just prescribe a statin or give someone metformin if their A1C is off the charts, you know, let's just prescribe the medication and never talk about getting to the root cause of why those things are elevated. Right.
So true. Yeah. We're trying to change that though. I think we're getting our message out slowly but surely.
Yeah. And you guys, you have an awesome podcast. I was just talking to you about that before we turn on the cameras. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah. So the Health Babes podcast, it's myself and my best friend, Dr. Crystal Hone. We are in practice together. And so we get to talk through a lot of our cases and also have a lot of great guests on. And we're really starting to talk us more. And because we know a lot about it, a lot, and we don't just talk about histamine. So, but yeah, we have fun with it and we try to laugh also because we're both huge dorks. And so it's anywhere podcasts are found, and we have a YouTube channel and all that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, you are like, I call you the histamine queen, and I send people to your page when they have questions about histamine, but you also really work with hormones and thyroid and things like that as well. Right.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. Cause it's all driven by, you know, those are all drivers. I have to know what to do with that stuff.
Yeah. So a low thyroid can also be a driver of histamine intolerance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Low and hyper and hypo can both drive it.
See, I don't think a lot of people know that. And the thyroid issues are completely off the charts. Well,
yeah.
These
that's what my first book is on. Yeah. My first book is a thyroid book. So.
Wow.
And in my first histamine book, I tie the two together. Like I do a whole part on it. So.
And thyroid, do you think everyone always needs to go on a thyroid replacement hormone? No.
A lot of times there's drivers, just like with histamine, you know, we're looking at the same thing. So, some people do, and that's okay. You know, if you have to, that's okay. But sometimes you don't have to. So that's what my first book is about. I talk all about the underlying factors and, you know, what to do and to try not to have to, but also explain how it is okay if you have to and what the best medications are and all that.
Yeah. You don't want to go onto the synthetic ones as much as you can avoid those. Yeah. And I mean, do you help people come off of thyroid medications as well?
We have. Yeah, we have. And they'll do like the bovine thyroid gland, and do really well with that. Biotics has a great product called GTA and GTA Forte. I love, and some people do better with that than the medication. Wow. Please don't go out and get this and start taking it because it actually does work like a medication. Yeah. Oh, you need to be monitored. You need to be monitored and have your blood being checked. We check every 4 to 6 weeks with this.
Wow. So
yeah. I hate saying specifics on stuff like that because I don't want anyone to just go do that because you shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough thing about podcasts because you really want to get, and I know, you know, this having your own podcast is like, you want to really help people and give them as much information as you can, but there's certain things like thyroid hormone that you don't want to DIY.
No, you do not. Do not do that on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been super, super helpful. And I know you have to get to another podcast interview soon. Where can people find you? I'm definitely going to link all your books in the show notes, but where can people find you, find your podcast, and just if they want to learn more from you or work with you?
Yeah. So drbeckycampbell.com is my website. I'm mostly on Instagram at Dr. Becky Campbell. The podcast is the Health Babes podcast. And then I have my books. So I have three books. My fourth is coming out in December. And then I have a histamine online reset program. So if you can't really work with someone, but you want more guidance than a book, the program is really a great place to start.
Wonderful. Well, I'll make sure I put that all in the show notes so that they can find those things, follow you, and hopefully do some of your programs. So thank you so much for taking time. I know you're busy in practice and all of your own stuff. So I appreciate you taking the time out today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And thank you everybody for listening.
Wonderful.